through Dr. Lowry Jansen. He says more loosening is leading to more spread with the greatest impact on whānau with the least resources. He's hoping that all Māori in self-isolation are getting their daily checkup, but cautioned those using oximeters to look out for the trend in their oximeter numbers. He wants to see a full comprehensive assessment of patients who are in isolation to begin immediately, and is hoping there wouldn't be any more of the supervision failures that have occurred in at-home isolation. Thanks for joining us, Rawiri. Tēnā koe.
Kia ora, Dale.
How many of our people are, in fact, in self-isolation rather than MIQ, and what's the pluses and minuses for both settings?
I think it's in the order of more than 600 of our whānau are in community isolation settings. The managed isolation settings are the sort of the Jet Park Hotel that we know has been used for, you know, more than a year for people returning from overseas, but it's also used for some people when they become COVID positive in Auckland, then they can go and stay in there. The advantage, of course, going in there is that one or two people in a room can serve out their infectious period and then be released, as opposed to when a big whānau's in a house, if another person turns positive, then everybody else goes back to zero. And so one or two people who finish their infectious period can leave, but the rest of them are, you know, really needing to stay in an isolation group, and often for a long time. I've heard of a large whānau that was 37 days, and I can predict that we will end up with some longer than that. And Dale, we're coming up to Christmas time, so that's a very complex, challenging time for whānau to be isolating for long periods heading towards Christmas. So having some options for whānau that they find acceptable is a really important part of our response at this time.
A lot of our people would be nervous at the cost of MIQ, even though it would make more sense if they're in a multi-generational household of significant numbers, because as you say, the threat is doubled, perhaps even quadrupled, if you're sent home to self-isolate but can't do so because you've got a full house.
Yeah, that's right. And we can see Delta goes through almost everybody in the house most of the time. MIQ, there's no charge for it. You're going to be looked after there mostly really well, kai delivered to your room. But, you know, even that, it can be disconcerting for whānau. It can be unusual circumstances. They're going to be staying in their rooms for, you know, long periods. They do need to have some good contact, be able to touch base with whānau and connect with whānau so that they get through that period. And so sometimes it looks better to be at home in your house. I think actually we need to really talk with whānau about the complexity and the challenge of that.
It's interesting you say that, because I was under the impression that to stay in MIQ is about $1,500 for a person, about $3,000 a week for a couple. Has there been a public announcement from the government saying there will be no charge for MIQ?
Until you mentioned it, I'd never thought of it. And now I recognise that many whānau will be worried about those, you know, are there extra conditions, are there costs, those things. So, you know, we've got to do a better job of making sure whānau understand those settings.
The term oximeters is not as common as we might think. You're cautioning those using them to look out for the trend. I had to Google it because I didn't know what an oximeter was. It checks the level of oxygen in your blood, né? And how is it being used to, what is this, an alternative to the testing regime, Rowdy?
No, it is simply a way of trying to check on the status of people who are COVID positive. And we know that some people will get very unwell, and sort of classically it's on day 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 of being COVID infected that their lungs, they might start developing a pneumonia, a particular kind of pneumonia due to the COVID. And so measuring oxygen levels can be a sign for us that somebody's lungs are getting pretty affected by COVID, and those ones we want to get them into hospital as soon as that deterioration happens. But the problem with these oximeters is the kind of technology that has been developed for the Western world, and so mostly for white-skinned people, they work reasonably well. And so darker-skinned, they don't work quite so well. And so you don't want to be relying on that device to tell you whether or not you are having problems with your respiration, with your breathing. Part of the correct answer is that we are ringing people every day and asking them the right questions every day. And if they deteriorate in any way, then we should be considering moving them to hospital. And so I don't want to rely on the little oximeter. And of course, you could buy your own. You can get it off TradeMe or eBay or something like that. And I don't know if that's any good quality at all. So I don't want to rely on those ones. I do really want to rely on clinicians, nurses, doctors, nurse practitioners, making the call and discussing with patients how they're doing. And that's how we should be making good decisions to keep people safe.
Thanks. Just finally, have you had some decent feedback from those who are in self-isolation, Māori, in their whare? Because, you know, if you go by the reports Ian Taylor put together, and I was reading one from Duncan yesterday, Duncan Garney said it was sort of shambolic, really, the connectivity with the health ministry and their representatives. There seemed to be confusion all through the way, and the support was... well, basic to say the least. What feedback from Māori have you had re self-isolation support, Rauri?
There are some very significant concerns about the quality of the support that we are providing as a system to people who we are telling they must stay at home. So some whānau have had very bad experiences in terms of not getting kai delivered. Some have had very bad experiences of not having phone calls and daily checks. Some have had very bad experiences of getting, you know, inadequate, difficult to understand information about how to isolate. Now, all of that has created some very significant harms. We've seen some bad outcomes from COVID-positive patients isolating in the community, and we have to fix that. We have to protect whānau who are self-isolating.
Well, as you say, Christmas is coming up, and this will compound the challenge, no doubt. What advice would you give to our Kai Whakarongo this morning regarding the build-up to Christmas, which is, what, less than a few weeks away now?
Yeah, I'm always going to go back to those basics, and I think we've got to do that testing thing really rigorously. Any concerns that you've been exposed, any concerns that you've got, any symptoms, get tested. And right now we're testing so many that it's going to take 2 days to get your result. So if there's any doubt, whānau, just go and get tested. The next thing is the vaccination program, and we're working that so well. We are really getting some good progress in there. We've got a bit more work to do, and I think we've just got to be committed to get that done. And then the next stage is this outbreak is, whānau, please... start preparing. It will happen near you or happen to you, and having some preparation, and there's some good information out there about how to prepare, making sure you've got some lists, making sure you've got an understanding of the things that you might need, because if you end up COVID positive, I think it's really helpful to be clear with the system, these are the things that this whānau needs, and then inside the system we've got to do a lot of work to make sure that we meet the needs of
whānau. Rauri, you've been a great go-to guy, and I really appreciate it. I'm sure our listeners do as well. All the best until next time. Ngā mihi nui kā koe.
Thank you,
tēnā koe. Dr. Rauri Jansen, the Clinical Director of the National Health Water Coalition. It's 7:46.